Welcome to another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Happy to have your company this week once more as we stream into the interwebs with our Taka shelfies and dollies, and how much better we feel when we get to put those plastic representations of pop culture on display for our eyes to gaze at and brag about. I am not the only one here, as always, folks, so let me introduce the Chuck Berry to my Elvis Presley, Mr. Jay Bartlett.
Whoa, what's going on? I'm freezing cold.
It's getting to that point, isn't it?
It's actually bitter. It is bitter.
It's we're getting snow and sleet and rain and dampness, and it's the lovely curse of living in Canada, folks, in January. Gotta love it.
Yeah, and I always seem to do the icebreaker as weather. But as everyone knows, I hate winter for a number of different reasons. One being the weather, and I can't seem to get warm today. So I have a hoodie inside.
Have we covered what you like versus what you don't like? You would rather take the sweaty, humidity, sticky, can't breathing outside versus the frigid temperature, tundra cold. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, both are, they have their, they're both uncomfortable in their own kind of way, but I don't like going outside and it hurts. And anyone who doesn't know a Canadian winter, yeah, I'm tired of going out there and, cleaning the car off and it's freezing. And I don't like that. I would rather just sit there and sweat, even though that's uncomfortable in its own right.
My favorite part of remote starters. So my cars are lucky enough to have a remote start. So I got to go in the morning and go bleep, bleep. Just so the car starts on its own and I'll look outside and it'll shut off because it only runs for 10 minutes. I'll go, better do it again. And you get three times before you actually have to go and physically turn it on before it won't work anymore. But some winters, it just doesn't add up. Hello to everybody in our chat, of course. We got Skelevator, who's tuning in for his first time of live Jay and Rob Toy Show. Thanks, brother. Thanks for checking us out. That's awesome. You beat Lisa to the very first comment. Not an easy feat to do, but one that you get awarded with. How you doing, Lisa? What's up, guys? Hearts and rock and roll. Howdy, howdy, Nathan. Howdy, howdy, Lisa. And Lindsay and Nathan and Cindy is here as well. And Nathan's saying it's 65 there. Pinky girl, what's up? 28 degrees in New Zealand is so hot. Jealous. Take that any day. Any day as well. All this winter is new to Lisa because I believe she comes from quite warmer climates compared to what we're dealing with now. So that is fantastic that you get a whole new frigid experience that'll leave you scarred. What we call frostbite. Retro Universe is tuning in saying, what's up, guys? Only minus one. Kind of cold for us old guys. I feel it in your bones. Yes, sir. You do. You need a whiskey or something by that warm fire. Cactus Jamie, of course, saying, hey, what's going on? Nice to see you again, brother. And Danny, he came for the promise of big news and he stays for the weather report. Well, you have come to the right channel. Dolly's is about the third on the list. Big news, as always, on the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Thank you for tuning in, of course. Big news, big news. Lots of stuff in the works behind the scenes. Big news, big news. Jay, do you have any big news you want to share?
I got nothing. I'm waiting to hear your big news that you've been boasting about all week. So
I don't actually remember boasting about big news in particular, but for Danny, I think we can always say that there's big news because it's always big news season. It's winter and big news here on the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Let's get to the icebreaker since we're talking about weather. See what I did there? This, of course, is brought to you by our sponsoring partners of Mockmasters, Retro Rags, Heroes Comics and Cards, and Big Bad Toy Store. Jay, I want to know. What figure do you find yourself always seeing to the point of irritation while toy hunting? You're out there in the stores, you're looking around, you're like, there's that figure again. Yep, can't escape it.
Oh, like a new one or like a classic?
Just anything? A classic. One that just seems to haunt your toy hunting dreams. It's not a bad figure. It's just always there. It's like a staple that seems to be in every store.
I would say, just looking at the shelf, I see Aquaman from Superpowers a lot, an awful
really?
Lot without the trident, which is annoying because I need the trident. I see an awful lot of McFarlane's Spawn figures, and this is not McFarlane's fault, but to me, they all just kind of start to look the same after a while. They all kind of blend together. I followed Spawn its first year of issue in 1992, and then I slowly dropped off after that. So again, it's not Todd's fault. I don't know the name of the characters, but they all seem to kind of share the same kind of look, and they all kind of blend together. So I see an awful lot of McFarlane's Spawn.
I find myself often confronting the bin of 2002 He-Man figures without weapons or any armor whatsoever. If I have to see one more He-Man or Skeletor from 2002 that's just been tossed aside into one of those milk crates or egg crates, whatever you want to call it, they just seem to be the dirty He-Man figure that turns up like a penny in every store. I don't know why.
I see a lot of New Adventures He-Man, just He-Man. I've seen that figure an awful lot too. And of course, naked, no shield, no sword, nothing. I see him a lot, which is a shame because, again, I got him from one of those bins and I desperately need his weapons. So, yeah, he's naked on my shelf.
Go ahead.
Or I'm just looking at, you know, I do see some superpowers too. Not superpowers, Secret Wars. But the ones I usually do see are always stripped of their paint. You know, you see Iron Man with a nose hanging out, or Doctor Doom with no gears on his chest
hanging out. I love that. Yeah. That is so aptly. The nose
rubbed off. Yeah.
I think a second or tertiary figure that I see all the time would be Phantom Menace, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon. They seem to be in every store as well. And
in package in the sun.
Always a package for $5.99, yellowed in the sun.
$5.99.
They weren't even in the window. They're in the middle of the store, but still yellowed somehow.
99 cents.
$5.99. And 89 Joker. 89 Joker just always finds his way into the toy aisle somehow. Yeah. Not bad toys, but they're not great toys, my friend. We will be getting to the discussion later on of collecting struggles, I think, was the bullshit topic I came up with this week. I don't even know if that's what we're end up talking about. I've got some points about that. But I have a game, Jay. I have a game for us to play if you would like to play another game, since you had fun last week.
Yeah, let's play.
All right. So this is a quintessential Rob and Jay kind of game.
I can't win.
No. Hey, look, there's no wrong answers. There's just never a right one. Okay. This is This is a typical Rob McCallum game for Chain Bar.
What would irritate me when people walk behind me? I can feel it in my ass.
This is what would bother you more. Okay. That's what I'm calling this segment. What would bother you more? Okay. And this is in terms of your collection. Okay. So you've got to pick one side or the other. So what would bother you more, Jay? Only ever having three of the four Ninja Turtles or no Han Solo?
Having no Han Solo would suck. Why is that? More. Well, turtles are pretty low on the totem pole for me as far as importance go. I mean, I dig the four turtles, like we've talked about a million times, in the first wave, Shredder, Splinter, and beyond that, it gets a little silly for me. I mean, it was meant for kids, the cartoon. So, not having Han, he's one of the three heroes of Star Wars. That would be.
Well, and you get to have all your Luke Skywalkers. Yeah. Luke's out the wazoo, but no Han.
I really couldn't care. I mean, I don't want to lose any of the turtles, but it's really the same figure, Rob. I hate to break it to you. It's not, the same different figure.
Different
colors,
different weapons, different personalities. Now for the follow-up on that, which turtle would you cast out and never have? Because you've said
Michelangelo.
So you'd never have Michelangelo. So Jay, you said that, our viewers just dropped from 2 to 1 viewers. Now we have that.
Yeah, so growing up, we had our favorites. I think, I can't remember who yours was. Leo?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, mine was Donatello, and now it's switched to the cynical Raphael.
That's about right for you.
Kind of identify with him a bit more. Michelangelo too, if we're talking about the Playmates ones, which I adore, Michelangelo's weapons are almost always broken, those nunchucks. So I have like a really, really nice Michelangelo, and the nunchucks are in his hands. And one day I tried to take them out for some photos, and you could see the chain part. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? Forget it. Even Raphael, I only have one Psy in his hand because I can't get the other one in his hand. I'm like, but you know what? Forget it.
That is how perfect having a Michelangelo in your collection would be, because you'd want to have it pristine because it is so hard to get.
Yeah.
So for the sake of the collection, you're wrong for the sake of the collection.
Mike, I apologize. I offended you. No matter what I would have said.
All we're getting is bye, Mikey. As a fellow Michael, I'm offended. Our viewer count peaked at two viewers, and now we're down to one viewer.
What's great about the turtles is that everyone has their favorite. It's pretty rare if you have 10 people in a room that the majority are going to say the same ones. So that's a pretty cool thing about the turtles, too.
The next, which would you rather, or what would bother you more, is always Snake Mountain and never Grayskull, or never having a pure version of He-Man. And when I say a pure version, you can never have the original. You can only ever have Battle Armor, Thunder Punch, Laser Light, Flying Fists.
All awful.
So you have to either pick.
All of those, and I think I was more tolerant as a kid. I was more open to that stuff as a kid. But, you know, as we, you know, grew up in the late 80s and the 90s, we hated the Arctic outfit Batman and the stupid like flying fist Batman and all that crap, right? So I'm never a fan of Batman, He-Man, they don't need these. Like Superman doesn't need a vehicle to run faster.
He needs a vehicle to jog better.
I'm not a huge fan of Snake Mountain either. I think it's Fright Zone's the weakest. If you count Eternia, I would say that Snake Mountain is the second worst playset for Masters.
So never Snake a pure Mountain. Version of He-Man or Snake Mountain and never Grayskull.
Well, I've stated on many, many times that I'm a bigger fan of She-Ra, and Masters of the Universe is much more than just He-Man. So I will say I'll take a non-pure version of He-Man in order to have Grayskull in the picture.
That's an interesting way to go, my friend. You'll never have the original. You'll never have the collectible figure. I'm sorry to hear you have once again made the wrong answer. Moving on to the third scenario, Jay. What would bother you more? Okay. Only being able to collect Mesk instead of Mask, or only being able to collect Remco figures instead of Masters of the Universe. And that's all iterations of Master. So everybody else gets to have the Masters, and you've got to have the Remcos, or you've got to have the Mesk instead of Mask. So instead of the Rhino, you got the Rono or whatever it's going to be called.
Okay, well, it comes down to what do I like more?
Bad Mask figures or bad He-Man figures?
I will say I'll collect bad He-Man because I think Mask are just too gorgeous to go for the Mesk treatment. And I from what I understand, a lot of the Remco stuff now is canon, and they're making like what Sunman and stuff like that.
Well, that wasn't Remco. That was a whole other brand that has a really interesting story. And Sunman was a specific figure that has recently been added to Origins.
Well, they don't call me Blast Attack Jay for nothing. So
this is true. This is true.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm going to pick Mask to be pure, and I'll have to deal with the Remco bootlegs.
That's fair. And that's nothing against Remco collectors out there, because they're okay figures. It's more the fact that you couldn't have the Masters and you would have to get a secondary subsidiary
it's not insulting any Remco fans. It's just like back in the day, they were considered knockoffs. And now, like the Uze Star Wars figures, they're highly, highly collectible because of that, right? So it's just a part of toy history.
I'd go the other way. I'd be collecting Mask specifically because they are so awful.
Oh, they're awful.
There's just something about the awfulness that is so alluring. It's like a train wreck. You have to love it. You can't look away when you see it outside your window. So speaking of, and I kind of throw this at you, Jay, because there was a bit of news that dropped, I think it was today or yesterday, that we're finally, after all these years, getting new iterations of one of your favorite lines and one of my favorite lines. And I can't wait to see if you're going to put them on the shelf. I'm going to clear some shelfy space and add these dollies right away.
Absolutely not. I'm not even touching those things.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. I have no idea.
I 100% know what you're talking about. You're talking about cops. Those things are awful.
I'm talking about Cops and Crooks. They look like
you know, blind box toys. They look like those.
So for everybody out there that didn't see the news and was busy like me clearing off shelf space, I think was it Monkey Fiction is releasing 1.5-inch rubberized, non-articulated Cops and Crooks figures as a 5-pack. I believe it's Bulletproof Long Arm, Dr. Bad Vibes, Big Boss, and Buttons McBoom Boom. and Big Bad, they're exclusive to Big Bad Toy Store, and they come in variant colors. Jay, share your thoughts while I quickly look these up to be able to pull up an image for everybody.
Yeah, sure. Cops and Crooks. It's a fantastic cartoon and toy line done by Hasbro in 1987. And it was just the oversaturation of everything was one reason why it didn't take off. I mean, they had two waves, which was good, and a couple seasons. Larry Hama wrote a lot of the file cards on the back, so they're very similar to G.I. Joe's. And we haven't had or seen a peep from Cops since. And now here we are. We have these things, and I think the art is really cool. But I have a lot of blind box Star Wars figures that look just like this. There's zero articulation. They're just kind of, hey, remember this, you know?
I like the look, and I like the stylized approach. It's not the way that I would choose to have this stuff come back by any stretch. I think it's an interesting approach to take the 1.5-inch sub micro level or approach to it. Like, why not a 4-inch figure? I understand if you can't do like something at 6-inch or 7-inch, but this is really small. And it's interesting that you brought up the Larry Hama connection, because the Cops figures were released as part of the DEA stuff and G.I. Joe with the same characters. So they are part of the G.I. Joe canon. And it was confirmed that Hasbro brought a lot of those characters over for copyright reasons, from what I understand, to protect it and keep the IP protected going forward. But this is not Cops and Crooks. This is certainly not anything close to even the G.I. Joe scale.
Well, the closest thing you have, if you click on the package, Rob, for me there.
Yeah.
The closest thing you have is the original gray kind of grid pattern, and the font's exactly the same as well. Yeah. See the picture of Long Arm and Bulletproof there in the top right of the package. I mean, if they look like that, that would be kind of cool. But these are like squished, kind of weird baby versions. They look like, they remind me of Muppet Babies. Like, you know how the Muppets looked, and then the Muppet Babies were supposed to be, you know, baby versions of those characters. That's what these guys look like. It looks like they went under shrink rays, and they look like little kids with adult clothes or something. It's kind of odd.
And when they also come in the pink version, which is very muscle-like.
Then,
of course, they have this green version as well. So I guess if you're like a big fan of muscle, like your good friend Justice Curry is, maybe this kind of fits in with that as an outlier kind of thing. But again, even the assortment of characters that they've picked here, I'm kind of baffled with, because you got three villains. Dr. Bad Vibes was never really kind of one of the main ones. Again, the intellect character on the side hatching some schemes as well. Sure, Bulletproof and Big Boss makes sense, but where's Berserko? Where's Rock Crusher? Where's all the other cops? Like Long Arm, he's the cop that you go with. I mean, I guess that he looks the most like a traditional cop, but
he's arguably the main character, though, Long Arm, right? Besides Bulletproof. So that I get. Buttons is a little odd because he was always with Nightshade. But yeah, where's Berserko? Berserko should be with his uncle, right? There's a lot of things. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things about Hasbro that I don't understand. Us as collectors have been screaming at them for decades about Mask, about Inhumanoids, you know, they can bring back the Centurions because they own Kenner. All these things that make sense, and even cops, and this is kind of the answer. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You know, I don't really want them to remake Cops because I think those figures are phenomenal. If they did reissues, okay, sure, that would be kind of cool. But I like them just the way they are. So I think it's an odd choice. I'm with you there.
And like, so people are chiming in on the chat here. Cactus Jamie says, looks like they're trying to do what Muscle did. And Muscle had actually, was it, I think it was Super 7 that released Masters of the Universe Muscle-like figures to fit within that. Again, I never bought into any of that Masters Muscle stuff. The Robot Menace loves Muscles, but he doesn't want these at all. And Danny's chiming in. Buttons and Long Arm are my two favorites. Still don't want those. Danny, are you commenting from two different accounts at the same time here? Because I believe you're the Robot Menace and you are on Facebook watching us. Get those views up, Danny. Big news. You're getting it on two accounts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to be, you know, upset to see one of my favorite IPs, you know, show its face again. I think that's cool. But like we talked about in such depth last week about nostalgia, you got to be careful, right? I mean, it would be easy just to jump on these because they're nostalgic. But, you know, even if they were Joe size, I think I would give them a whirl.
Well, let's point to something that I think did it right, even though I think maybe the price point is a little out of our comfort zone, Jay. And I'm sure you've seen these. These come from Ramen Toys, and these are like Centurion knockoffs, for more or less. Have you seen these?
I have. Our good buddy Michael Mercy on his channel reviewed these, and they're actually really, really well done. They're obviously not licensed, but you get the idea of what they're supposed to be.
It's clearly really cool. Centurions. They're called 80s Commanders, but they're articulated and updated. The problem was they're like $100 each, like US plus shipping. So the cost on that is just hard to justify, but it is exactly what you would want in a revival of a line that isn't like completely redone, but there's enough, looks like, tooling differences to make it worthwhile, worth the plunge. I really honestly think these would have been a shoe-in for most people at something closer to the $50 price point, even $60, given it's more of an indie outlet compared to some of the other things. But $100 is just too hard to do. I mean, you're looking at $300 for the whole set. You kind of want to have the whole set, probably, and then shipping. That's a lot of money for toys. For those,
and I really miss the way things were, where you got a companion piece with it being a comic book or a cartoon. So if they were going to relaunch Cops, I mean, that is such an easy cartoon to create again. You could do a Netflix cop show, make it a little more, you know, adult, because, you know, very early on the cops stopped using their guns. The first few episodes they use their guns, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh yeah, well, I don't think we can do that anymore. So there's no guns in Cops, which is kind of funny. But yeah, I mean I want a comic book, I want a companion piece. It just makes the IP more exciting.
Well, it gives you something to tether to, right? Because I remember when we saw the Skele-God figure from Revelations, it was like, okay, am I gonna feel great about this after watching the show? Like, is the show really going to sell this figure? And I got to tell you, I was much more interested in the toys and the subsequent waves of Masters Universe Revelations once I had seen the cartoon. If you would have just put those figures out without that media, it would have been like, disconnect. I'm not sold quite enough. Seeing the show, seeing how it unfolds, you get to form those attachments, which is exactly what they do by design. You get hooked into it, so you want to have the thing for the feelings that you attach. You want to put it on your shelf because that is who you are, and you feel better when you can do that because you're a shelfie, you're a shelfer. Just that's how it works. And when you can't do that, it's like, ugh. You know, you got to really reach into the bottom of those nostalgia feels in the case of Cops to get that. But at $30, you know, it isn't a lot for those five rubber figures. It's the cost of one Black Series. You know,
that's a good thing. But I would hardly call them action figures. Those are more just like little things you'd put on your desk at work, or, you know, on your, I don't want to say bookshelf, but like in the corner of a shelf or something. Yeah. It's not really like a centerpiece of anything. You can't move them. They're just kind of like statues almost.
Now,
it's interesting. It's interesting.
It's definitely a collecting struggle, not to get away from our topic tonight, when we see stuff like this, because there's a part of me that says, you should want this, or you should try to support it to hopefully get the thing that you truly want later.
No,
you know what I mean?
I can't. This is like, oh,
it's not enough. But like we've had the same treatment, right? With Sektars, instead of the 7-8 inch, we got the 3¾ size, and it's like, doesn't quite hit the mark. We've seen it with G.I. Joe, of course, and we've seen it with Dino Riders as well, where they came back with little miniature things. It's just like, no. And then, of course, the popular argument is, well, you didn't support that, so we can't give you a full-fledged 6-inch line.
Yeah, I can't get behind that. Hasbro has more money than they know what to do with. It's not a risk to them. And I guarantee you, if they did Cops, it would sell. I guarantee you it would sell. If they did Inhumanoids again, or Mask, or any of these other, you know, under the radar, and I say that with a grain of salt, because I know there's big communities, but I mean, not talking about the big five, some of the, you know, lesser known ones, they would all sell. I mean, you know, the company you just showed, I can't remember that do the
Ramen
Centurions. Ramen Toys, they're doing, you know, essentially unlicensed versions, and those are doing really well. So if you brought out Inhumanoids again, come on, man.
Apparently Ramen is also doing Silverhawks now as well. Yeah. And I believe they're supposed to be going after the VAC metal look. And I think it is at the 4-inch scale, just like the original ones were. So time will tell how that rolls out. But yeah, I agree. I don't like that. Here's the thing that you love in the form that you don't love it in or never had it in. And it's okay to have a difference if it makes sense. Giving us, as Nathan says here, pencil erasers in the form of our characters that we like in a show just doesn't work.
Yeah. And, you know,
that's a struggle.
I think Masters of the Universe is a really good example of what I'm about to say, where they got you covered. Mattel's got you covered, right? You got your classic stuff. You got your new stuff. You got your kid stuff. You got your Lego stuff. And there's probably more I'm missing. Whatever you want, it's there for you.
It's too much.
I think there's too much, but you don't have to get it all, right? I mean, if
oversaturation is the problem, though, right? Like, there's no cartoon or media for Origins. There's nothing that ties in the mega block, so you're gonna have to buy into wanting
the mega block. That's all because, you know, the Kevin Smith haters, the people who don't like Revelations, you have every right not to. I'm just saying they want your money regardless. It's like, okay, well, you don't like this. Well, you like the old stuff, right? So, and you like the mini comic? Okay, well, here's Beast Man for the mini comic. Here's Stratos with a different paint job, because you look like that for one page of the mini comic.
Yeah, and if you're a mini comic lover and you live in an international country, you're not going to get words in your mini comic. So deal with that.
Yeah, that's great. I just write my own in. I make up my own damn stories.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Just write in with big crayon letters. This is what Beast Man says to He-Man. That's what I thought was supposed to happen. Let's talk some collecting struggles. I want to also thank everybody for watching episode 9 of the Jay and Rob Toy Show this week on Jinx Esports TV, where we delved into kind of part one of Masters of the Universe, looking at vintage 2002 and classics, and revisited the collection of Justice Curry, who, interestingly enough, has torpedoed so much of his Masters collection on card that we showcased, like, mere months after filming that. It's kind of like frozen in time now, his collection that we've got on film, because it does not look like that. He even sold his Megator and Titus that he had as well. So
wow.
Yeah,
well, he just, you know,
no personal attachment to it. He said, why do I have these other than to have the complete run? No connection to it. I just want stuff that speaks to me more. So when I look around, it's like, yeah, that matters more to me than checking off a box.
Exactly. And that's what it should be about. It should be about what speaks to you, not what you think you should have, or what others think, you know, how others tell you how you should collect. It's like, oh, you got to get the whole collection or you're not a real collector. It's like, nah, if I just want to get one figure, I'm just going to get one figure, you know? So I don't blame them for getting rid of that stuff. Although I would like Megator and Titus. I think they're pretty cool.
Before we switch on, Danny comes with an interesting point. Maybe toy companies don't want to compete with themselves. Hasbro doesn't want to cut into their Transformers and G.I. Joe sales by putting out Inhumanoids, Mask, and other what bits. The suits only want themselves. Oh, I got to disagree with that, because, Danny, we saw 3 crowdfunding campaigns on HasLab that were clearly competing with one another for everyone's dollars. Moreover, Hasbro licenses Transformers to Super 7, and still puts out their own Transformers line, and G.I. Joe to Super 7, and still puts out their own G.I. Joe line. And there's multiple G.I. Joe lines that they're putting out. So there's cannibalization happening across the board. And it's, do you want the options as a collector to collect what you want at the risk of everything being oversaturated and going away for decades? Or do you just want something that's done right, that's tangible, and that you can just get here and there without having the pressure to do it? What do you think, Jay?
I kind of see what Dan's saying, but I think ultimately, for the most part, we spend so much on this stuff that we would find a way. You know, for the 10 people out there who like Inhumanoids, if they released it, you know, we would find a way to get them. So our disposable income seems to be never ending. You just got to be careful.
I think it was it 13 years ago now at Comic-Con that Hasbro did like a multi-pack that had the Leoric and from Visionaries in G.I. Joe yeah. scale, and had yeah. Matt Tracker, and had, I think it was Jetfire and something else. And it was like all five of the things yeah, that it had Micronauts.
I'm sure Keeper of the Footage, you saw that at Treehouse. They had that there. It was like $300.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
Damn it. I went up there. Jay, you caught me slipping.
I went up there. Ugh, I went up there like I think September or October, and I opened it up. And I gotta tell you, dude, that Leoric figure is freaking beautiful. I'm like,
I have the figure. I have Leoric, but I don't have the other ones. I got him separately. I pulled him off eBay a long time ago when we were looking at like reboot characters and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is a cool one to compare to the original Visionaries release, but I don't have the other ones. Of course, we've got Matt Tracker, G.I. Joe style, but not the other ones. But that's a great way to do a pack, or do something like the NECA Turtles, where put two Inhumanoids together in a single pack and charge $80 for it. Like it's easier to get into something when you feel like you're getting more bang for your buck and you get more characters, or do like a five pack and sell it for $150, a one-time deal. It could be the only time you get it, which again also helps justify the cost.
Or they could just keep doing Marvel Legends till the cows come home in Star Wars, and you know, it's going to be the same amount of money anyway. So I honestly don't see any of those really obscure lines coming back. The only one I can even think of remotely would be Mask. And for some reason, they don't want to bring Mask back, but Inhumanoids, honestly, forget it. Like that is probably one of the most obscure of obscure lines. The cartoon was a small 12 episode run. Same with stuff like Sectors. I mean, like we talked about, they tried to,
yeah,
but they didn't bring the mounts out or the pets. And it was just like, that's half of the show are the mounts and the pets.
It's incomplete without that other half of the play pattern. You know, you really need that to separate that playtime experience from the other stuff. Otherwise, yeah, just be other figures.
I'm looking at Prince Dargon, and he was the only one I got. And I got him from Big Bad Toy Store, and I waited. I wanted to see him. And the figure's great. Figure's fantastic. I didn't open it, not because I didn't want to, but it's because I knew the cost of the figure. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to collect this entire line, even though there was two new yeah. guards for each side, which was cool. But it's like, yeah, forget it, man. I'm good with this one. Then I got the box art. Done.
Cactus Jaming is reminding everybody that the Mask cartoon is on Tubi for free right now, along with G.I. Joe and Transformers. I love Tubi. We have our content on Tubi. Tubi is a great free streaming platform that has ads built in. Creators, for the most part, get to determine where those ad breaks happen. Of course, it's pretty easy for television shows to figure that in. So check out Tubi. I'm a huge fan of that platform. And hey, when you can have Mask running all day and Joe and Transformers, that's a pretty good deal. Yeah. Let's talk some other struggles that we have as collectors. And sometimes it is the oversaturation of where to put our money and the struggle with what do we pick and choose when there is so much. Sometimes it's trying to get a figure and struggling with when we only want to buy a figure that's complete and must have all the accessories, or heaven forbid it goes into our collection. Looking for the perfect package in order to have it in our collection, because all that corner's a little rough. I won't buy it unless I think it's pristine, or I won't buy it unless it's graded. The struggle to open stuff, or even keeping up with all the new releases, affording, choosing between A and B, you know, what you want. What are some of those struggles that speak to you right off the hop, Jay?
Now that I think we've both significantly cut back, at least for a little while.
Thank God.
The figure I have to show for Action Figure Spotlight later will show off what I'm trying to say, where this particular figure I saw, and it wasn't something I was going to get, wasn't too exciting. And I saw it in my hand. I'm like, oh my God, now I have to have two because I want to open one. And we'll save that for the end of the show. But the struggles I still have are damaging box art, because I'm such a fan of art. If you could see the studio, and if you could see Rob's studio, it's covered with art, action figure art, video game box art. I hate destroying it. And for the most part, especially 3.75 inch figures, when you tear open the clamshell off the back, you pretty much crush the art. So I still struggle with the rule of two. The price point on the figure I'm going to show you helped make my decision a lot easier because it was expensive. So, but that's one struggle. Yeah. What about you?
I agree with that struggle. And it was today o'clock when I realized that I like having figures on my wall very specifically for the visual presentation of having them clustered together. So whether it's Turtle packaging or Star Wars Power of the Force 2 packaging clumped together or Masters of the Universe packaging, I simply like that on my wall as a visual cue. Like I would have a poster, like in my walls, I have both posters and art prints and figures all kind of mixed together. Yeah. So I've come to the determination that it's not about opening everything and freeing things from their plastic prison. And it's not even about preserving that figure or damaging the card. I just like to have that visual look and busyness and those graphics on my wall to look at.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, then for me, it's like, okay, well, what do you open then? And how much of one kind of card art do you want? And where do you pick and choose what goes on the wall? Because there's only so much wall space, like shelf space. So for me, again, it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to open stuff, I'm going to really just focus on the stuff that I want to open. And that's the stuff that I'll buy. Because it's fairly easy for you and I to take up wall space with figures. You know, it's got to look nice and it's got to be organized and focused and, you know, presentable. But it's not a hard task to zap up wall space in a hurry. Even if we put a shelf up in front of it, like one of your Deltoff cases or one of my shelves that I got here, it's pretty easy to fill up that space. So if I'm focusing on the walls and they're done, then it's a struggle. Okay, what do I open and what do I put that money in? That's the struggle for me on that side when it comes to opening.
Yeah, and of course, like we've talked about before, money, the cost of figures average $29 Canadian. I mean, that's a lot of money. So to buy two, that's $60. I struggle with in particular with Marvel Legends, with Daredevil. I have lots of Daredevil figures. We picked up some shooting season two, you know, stuff that's, you know, not for the auction, just for our collections, and struggling opening those. To the characters I really, really love, I like to have representations of them loose and on the cart. So again, when we hit to Action Figure Spotlight, it'll all make sense because I kind of understand.
It's a little bit of a tease, a little bit of big news coming up, Jay. That's what you've done there. You've done a little bit of,
well, it's not big news. It's nothing that's going to be, it's not like this thing. Like, that's big news. That thing is wicked. Anyone out there who knows what the Killer Whale is from 1984, this is one of the coolest vehicle/play sets out there. And I just wanted to put it there, and I wanted to give a shout out to Dark Matter Toys, where I got this baby a couple of years ago. It's 100% complete. Killer Whale.
That's a great vehicle playset. And I remember one of the, and I could call it vehicle playset because it's a bit of a hybrid, because you can, it obviously is. It's a vehicle, but like the Falcon, there's so much room to put figures in there. I guess another struggle that I find is furthering the appreciation of the stuff that we've got, right? We can buy it, we can open it, touch it, play with it, pose it, put it on the shelf. But like when we were kids and we'd get a figure, that figure had a whole second life and into the playtime routine. Like, it altered playtime. It made playtime more fun. It was now part of the mix, and there was that further appreciation for it. And when you're done playing, you, you know, set up all your guys on the shelf again.
Yeah.
Because we don't play anymore, aside from what I do with my kids, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to, what is that missing ingredient? Video games, we can collect video games and we can still play the game and enjoy it like we did 30 years ago, or have different thoughts on it now looking back. It's kind of hard to do that with figures. So I'm struggling to find another way to bring that appreciation up to a whole nother level. Sometimes photography with the stuff that we do helps. And yeah, of course our series, but I don't know. I struggle.
I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about it, right? We have a weekly show. We have two TV shows where we focus on toys. I think that is how we play now, is talking about them, you know, holding them, discussing them, you know, making fun of each other. That kind of thing.
That's fair, but it's not like, you know, I guess Action Figure Spotlight is like when we can show off a new toy, but we don't need to buy anything to talk about this stuff. We've kind of proven that with the last 8 weeks, where we can stop buying and still just talk about them without acquiring. I want to suck more fun out of the acquisition. Like, in a good way. Like, how do I get more out of all the purchases that I have?
Well, I would say, you know, one thing that I've enjoyed doing over the last few years is action figure photography. And I don't do, like, sets. You do a lot more set building than I do for your stuff. But I enjoy just setting up little battle poses and just shooting. And I think it's a lot of fun. And it really is playing. Because, you know, you're going to pit, you know, Duke against Serpentor, you're going to pose them in a kind of battle way. They're not just going to be standing there like Star Wars figures, right? They're going to be in cool battle poses. Yeah, I like that. I like recreating the cartoon stuff. And like I said, you have a lot of that stuff. You have those castles and you have like old war, you know, bricks and mountains and trees and stuff like that. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, and the worst part is I bought more to coincide with the ending of the last photography stuff that we shot for the Jane Rob Toy Show, only to have that end. And now it's just like sitting in a cupboard waiting, all this foliage and all these bricks and everything. But you can't do that every day, right? I mean, I guess you can't do any of this stuff every day, so to speak.
Yeah, but we talked about the big difference between video games and toys. And one of the big differences, you know, we were trying to do, you know, decide what to do after Nintendo Quest. And we said, well, you want to do
Nintendo Quest. No, Super Nintendo Quest.
It's like, what is the difference between games and toys? And video games, you have to pay attention. You have to be there to enjoy the game. That the whole point of it is you're sitting in front of the TV and playing. Where toys, you don't always have to be at full attention with. They're on your shelf, you know, and you kind of look at them when you want. You get exactly what you want out of them. It's different than a video game. Same as movies. You know, movies, you have to watch it to know what the movie's about, right? Toys, you don't need to do that. They just kind of sit there. It's just a little bit, I think, easier of a hobby to maintain, not price-wise. I think they're both expensive, but yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you see, like, with a movie, you could be one and done, completely digest it without having to go back for second viewings and still converse about it. But it's in which it's the ease of acquisition for toys is what I struggle with, where we've talked about it, which is why we put on the brakes. It's so easy to accumulate and acquire without having that focus. So if we're acquiring, yeah, what are we doing with the acquisition? When you buy a game, and you and I still have piles of games, I'm sure, that aren't even open and that we haven't even played. But yeah, at least we could open them and play them and then say, okay, check that box. I did what I was supposed to do with this thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't think...
toys. I don't know. Sometimes I feel dumb and a little guilty, to be honest, to just buy a toy, put it on the shelf. Buy a toy, put it on the shelf. That's why I make fun of being a pro shelfer, because it's like, yeah, you bought something, so you had money, and now you're part of the club. Way to go, Ace.
Well, you could tell what toys are made for kids still and are meant to be played with, and what toys are meant to not be played with. Anything made by NECA is specifically for an adult collector. Those aren't meant to be played with. They're meant to be shot. They're meant to be put on a shelf. Whereas if you get Origins, those things are very durable and very cheap, you know, cost wise. So those are meant to be played with.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm going to let my son and daughter play with this once I take it out of the box. This isn't part of my spotlight, but this is the Goliath figure from Gargoyles. I think I showed it already. It's crazy big, but it's NECA, right? So we know what's going to happen to this NECA figure the second I take it out of this.
So it goes bye-bye, Egon.
NECA go bye-bye. I plan on filming it just to see how long it's going to take for something to snap. And I'm not going to do it in a masochistic way. I just have a feeling that it's not really for playtime as much.
Well, and it's probably like any NECA figure, at least $70. So you're not going to buy that for your kid, I would say.
Yeah. I don't think it was 30 US. I don't think it was that bad, but yeah.
Yeah.
30 US, but still it's not. Your point is made. Do you want to get to action figure spotlight, Jay?
Let's do it. Yeah.
I'm sick of struggling about our collecting struggles, or at least mine. The therapy session is over. Let's talk about toys that we like that'll go on our shelf that I actually won't get more fun out of. You go first, since you teased it.
This was a figure line that I saw. There was a couple of figures in the line that I was really excited about. I'm not a huge fan of reaction figures, and this would be my first one.
Oh my goodness.
It's one of those cases where you really have to see it in person. And this was what I was talking about the fantastic box art, where I wanted two of Snake Eyes.
Yeah. Sold, huh?
So here's the thing, though, right? So I got Snake Eyes and I got Quinn. I have Quinn upstairs and I instantly regret it. Okay. So Quinn is great. I believe. So Quinn is from issue 2 of the comic books. He's an Inuit bounty hunter, I believe, if memory serves me correct, I think. Anyway, he was in the very first issues of G.I. Joe. He's a fantastic character. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a new guy.
Yeah.
And I bought it. And he looks not great. Snake Eyes looks awesome. Don't like the articulation. Don't care. This is one I'm never going to open. He's the cartoon colors, not Hector Garrido, but the style of Hector Garrido artwork is brand new. It is not rehashed. That's a brand new picture. Super 7 did it right. And so the entire line was there. So this is my point, where I was going to buy two Snake Eyes, but I'm like, no, wait, I'm going to buy one Snake Eyes and I'm going to buy Quinn, because I looked at the entire line and I don't want them. Scarlet looks brutal. Like, she's awful looking. The G.I. Joe soldier, the generic soldier, which I really do appreciate that they finally brought out an army builder for Joe's.
There's three of them for each side, right? Because they all have different skin tones. Yeah.
Skin tones, yeah, they don't look good. Cobra Commander looks weird. Yep. The only one I really liked was Snake Eyes. So I'm happy just to let, and if we look at the back here, if you want to blow that up again, that's the first wave. So again, they do the file card, and there's Quinn right there. Just a great character. So there's your first wave. So they had all those characters there. Even Destro didn't look great. But I thought Snake Eyes was good. And this is like you know, one and done besides Quinn. And I don't even know if I'll keep the Quinn or not, because, like I said, I think they released him in the 25th anniversary line. I'd much rather have that. But it was just a case of like, wow, a new Joe figure in the old style. But I got to give it to Super 7, man, because the presentation is just gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Let me throw this at you. This is something you probably saw as well once I get rid of this pop-up here. Did you see this Arctic Rescue?
I did. Yeah.
And so again, we've got another new character here, the Blind Woodsman, and it comes with sled and dogs. How do you feel about something like this?
That's 100% a buy for sure. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, a brand new character. And you know, from the Mass device, you know, my very favorite five parter. And it's great. You get a repaint of Snake Eyes where he's got the radiation poisoning and a brand new character. And you get the sled with the dogs. That is great. I love to see new stuff. They keep doing stuff like that, I'm going to be more inclined to buy. When they bring the Mobat out again, I don't care. I have the Real American Hero Mobat, you know. But this is cool.
This surprises me that you like that for some reason. Because I thought, okay, it's cool that there's a new character. But because it's not 3¾ articulation, O-ring style, that it would have been a little, it's not Real American Hero. It's just G.I. Joe reaction.
It is, but they're trying something new, right? So, and this is such an important part in the cartoon lore. This is where Snake Eyes meets Timber. And, I mean, it's a sidekick. And this old man here pretty much saves Snake Eyes from dying.
Old man.
This is great. Old man saves the old man. Old man. Yeah. So it's great. The articulation, again, their Kenner style.
When you get it?
I'm not going to open this one, no. Remember I just told you.
No, the Arctic one, the Arctic Rescue. Are you going to buy two and open one?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, it depends. I don't, like I said, the big knock on this guy was he was $22.
That's Canadian.
Just a little Canadian, which is a little out there. And again, you're paying for Super 7. Super 7 is a premium figure regardless of what size.
Yeah.
But I think also because it has the G.I. Joe logo, that's up another couple bucks. But I'm glad I got Snake Eyes.
So for my action figure spotlight, I can showcase a toy here that I got or something that's a little outside the realm but relates to what we've talked about tonight. So I'll let
you pick. Let's do outside the realm but relates.
Okay, so we interviewed and got to shoot at the HQ, the headquarters of Plaid Stallions for Action Figure Adventure, Faking Filmation, and possibly season 3 of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. And Brian was, he's an author, and he's all into like pre-80s stuff. There's not a lot of stuff from the 80s that he buys. And he has two books out. This is the newest one, Knockoffs, which is all about the different knockoffs that have come out. And I'll flip through the pages to just show you that. And his first book is Rack Toys. So these are all the little toys that you would find like in dollar stores and grocery stores and whatnot, and everything that you would see in there, and wow, the history for all that stuff. And he loves specifically toys that have a little bit of clunk in them. Toys that were made to be, you know, played with that are just very, you know, clunky and a little rough around the edges. You know, there's like all this kind of stuff, right? Like the Ghost Rider and with the cycle and the Hulk with the parachute. Like those are clunky toys.
The famous scene stuff. When Hulk jumps out of the plane and he needs the parachute. Remember that part?
Yeah. So like basically like Rack Toys, right? We've seen these in dollar stores for our entire lives. But the Knockoff book in particular is a subset that I've always wanted to know more about. So when this got announced and subsequently just released, I had to jump on it. So you can see here, like we've got some pretty cool high-end type photography and scans for all this stuff. So those are Monster Maniacs that have a very He-Man look to them.
Yeah.
There's like Adventure Woman, you know, is clearly like Wonder Woman there.
She had a little malfunction on her top there.
Look at these. Okay, Jay, you are going to love this page. I haven't, this is the first time I flipped through the book because I wanted to wait. But look at these. These are like X Team Toy Biz. Look at Extreme Power here and Pro Hero. But look at those X Team ones. Those look like a dead ringer for the Toy Biz ones.
Are they not the Toy Biz ones? They just repackaged them.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to read to find out. It's just they're clones. It says they're clones. But the members of the X Team might fool some kids. So tell me that's not not going to be a fun book to read. I just, like on the back, there's like Battle Man, which is, look at this. I got to blow this up for you. Look at this Battle Man here of Robin. Well, it's not Batman. It's Battle Man with Robin and an axe. And look at this big fella, this Godzilla. That's the best. Oh my God. when we shoot next and we're on the road, I will bring these books so we can have a good laugh just big looking fella. At some of the stuff. Here's Merry Christmas. What'd you get? I got a big fella. Oh, you didn't get a Shogun Godzilla? I got a big fella.
You remember when Godzilla was black, right?
No.
Yeah, just like that. Just like that. But
the big fella.
But look at the cover, man. It's like, hey, you guys. It's like Rock and Roll McDonald's. Here we go. It's just like amazing. It's so good. It's so good. Where can people find all your other exploits, Jay?
Check me in on YouTube at Jay Bartlett. New Year's Eve, I just published a top 10 list of my personal favorite toys of 2021. And there's a few on there. I think you might be a little surprised. So everyone check it out. I know everyone's doing the top 10s, but hey, I could watch a million top 10s by a million different people. And they're always a fun run. So check it out. It's about 15 minutes long.
Top 10 is a good guilty pleasure. Let's all go give Jay a view and check out his top 10 and then torpedo him next week with his number one decision, because we know from all the games we play that his number one has to be wrong. It doesn't matter how he feels.
Yep.
And the collecting game, you're not allowed to have your own emotions. You must agree with the motherboard consciousness of the interweb. You can find me on Twitter primarily. That's where I like to have most of my conversations these days, at Rob McZaw. But you can also find more of our adventures and updates at Action Figure Adventure on Instagram, at the Jay and Rob Toy Show on Instagram, and at Rob McCallum Films on Instagram. There was a big Kickstarter update, so maybe this is big news for all the non-backers of season one of Action Figure Adventure. We will be coming at you with another Kickstarter campaign for season two of Action Figure Adventure. I want to get further down the road with post-production. And of course, we got to get our auction in the can for season two. We revealed the items a couple weeks ago. Go back and check out that episode so you can kind of get your money all kind of sorted of what you want to secure, what kind of piece of toy history do you want? Because that stuff, you'll see the journey of it, how Jay found it, and now your home could be the final destination for those pieces that go to help critically and terminally ill kids that the Children's Health Foundation supports through their Child Life program. So it could be a cool piece for you. And I love that part of the story, right? When you look on your shelf and you see it, that's not just something that shipped to you, but that's something part of bigger that you're now a part of.
Yeah. And this stuff has been sitting in my house here since August, and it needs a good home. So the time is coming. And again, check out that episode. If you guys don't remember, if you haven't seen the items, there's some just legendary pieces for season two.
And we hope to do the auction starting in a couple weeks. I want to make sure that the Jinx side of things is over, so we're not trying to promote the Jinx show, our live stream, and the auction stuff. We want to do, I think, one auction item per week for 10 weeks, probably building up to the final items, where we'll count down. Basically, we will post images of the item on our Facebook page, facebook.com/actionfigureadventure. You will see what the item of the week is, so to speak, and then you leave your bid. And the high bid wins, probably like ended on a Thursday so we can promote it the day before on Wednesday on our live stream. And then if you're lucky, you'll get it. And that's that. Sounds pretty exciting to me. Are we allowed to bid on this stuff? Because that stuff is pretty great.
Oh, I'll be bidding on some of this stuff. Some of this stuff won't be leaving here, I'll tell you that. Maybe it will. It depends.
Maybe it will.
The high bidder is. Yeah.
It'll save on shipping. That's for sure. That's the nice part.
Thanks again to everyone who tuned in. Again, we have such a loyal bunch of friends who tune up. Kyle, you're the best, dude. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you guys following us every single week and joining in. I love having conversations with you guys back and forth. It's awesome. So thank you.
That'll do it for another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show then, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. As Jay said, we appreciate your camaraderie, for you putting up with our weekly hijinks in the realm and world of toys. We end every episode. We try to. We don't end every episode the same, although we strive to. For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, Jay, take care of yourselves.
And each other.
Because playtime is the what, Jay?
It's the bestest time I ever needed.
I can't wait to do some playtime. when we're allowed to have playtime. See you guys later. Cheers.